Hey, howdy, happy day. I got Jay Hill with me, Brian Lovick. Jay Hill, some repetition. Jay, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, good. Now, you're in Calgary and I'm in Kelowna, and you are a politician or used to be a politician, then you retired, and now you're kind of a politician again. You're the interim leader of Wexit.
That's right. That's quite correct.
And
heavy on the interim.
Heavy on the interim. Okay, you came out of retirement. You just want to do this and then go back to what? Golfing or something, huh?
Go back to my grandkids primarily.
Okay, good. So what is Wexit? What is it?
Well, it started as a movement about 2 years ago, roughly, founded by a couple of guys that were upset, quite rightly so, with the direction Canada was proceeding in. They decided that the only way they were ever going to get a fair shake was to start a movement that was supportive of independence for Western Canada, not just Alberta. There's a lot of confusion about that, but Western Canada. And so that's really how it started out. And then more recently, just this year, back, I believe it was March, they finally got it registered with Elections Canada to run candidates in the next federal election, whenever that is. So it's a registered political party with Elections Canada. It's not an official party because the rules are that you can't be an official party and offer tax receipts, for example, for donations until you've run at least one candidate in either a by-election or a general election. So that's the last hurdle for us to become an officially recognized federal party, political party in Canada.
Are people funding you anyway, even without the tax situation or consequences, whatever, benefits, are people still funding you?
Well, it's starting to come together. I mean, the reason why I got involved, I've only been involved now for about 3 weeks, give or take a few days, as have the other seven board members. The founder and original interim leader, a man by the name of Peter Downing, graciously stepped aside, and he felt that he had taken it as far as he could over the last 2 years. He put a lot of effort and energy and even substantial resources of his own into spreading the word. His focus mainly was to hold town hall meetings and rallies, especially in Alberta and Saskatchewan. I don't know whether he went any further afield than that. I attended a couple of those, one in Lloydminster and one in Calgary, here in Calgary. And but that was his focus. Our focus is a bit different since we took over the leadership of the now party, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Pretty interesting stuff. So to be a federal party, I get the technical part of it. And so soon, or sometime at least, you will be a full-fledged party. And at that point, you have to run a slate of how many people for the next election, federal election.
As I said, Brian, the only requirement is to run one candidate. So
how many would you run? Like in the West, how many seats are there for you to fill?
Okay, well, the four Western provinces have 104 seats, and if you include the three Northern Territories, it's 107. We will obviously purposely limit ourselves to those 107, and how many we can properly organize to run a credible candidate and a credible campaign in, it's anyone's guess at this point because we're just getting started.
Yeah. Now, you have quite an interesting background. I mean, you were a politician. You were an elected member of parliament. For how many years were you in office? 15, 17?
Yes, 17 years. I first ran for the Reform Party when it was less than a year old in 1988. And of course, in that election, I think we ran 72 candidates in the 88 Western ridings. That's all we could get organized. The party, as I say, the party was less than a year old in that election. So none of us won. Preston Manning ran against Joe Clark, and he ran second. A number of our candidates in Alberta ran second behind the PCs, but we didn't win any seats. So I ran first in 1988, then I stayed involved, won the nomination to be the candidate again, and won in 1993, and then I won consecutively in five elections after that re-election. So six elections, I was victorious, And I quit in 2010 when I was a sitting cabinet minister with Stephen Harper.
So you were also the leader. What were you? Give us all your portfolios. What were you doing when you were an elected person?
Well, I guess the interesting political trivia is that there, I had staff check at one point. There's never been an individual that has been their party whip. That's the sort of the disciplinarian and you know, mother confessor of the party, yeah, of the caucus. There's never been an incident that they could find in our parliamentary history where someone held that position twice. I've held it four times for four different parties or entities. And the reason why I say entities is because one of the times I was the whip, it was for something called the PCDR Coalition, which was the only recognized coalition in the House of Commons, and it only lasted 7 months, and I was the whip of that for that 7 months. So I've been whipped four times, both in opposition and in government, and I've been the House leader for twice, both in opposition and in government, both times for the Conservative Party of Canada.
So I think
that was the position that I held when I quit in 2010.
So as a House leader, I think you sit right beside the Prime Minister and like you're in pretty close contact with all of the people that are running the country. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, you're a full cabinet minister. Yeah. The official title is leader of the government in the House of Commons, but it's commonly referred to as House leader. Yeah. You actually sit straight behind the Prime Minister in the chamber. Yeah. But you work, of course, very closely because your primary responsibility is to shepherd the government's parliamentary agenda, their legislation, through the chamber and into law.
So you were a very high up guy, and then you retire, and a few years later you come out of retirement and say, I'm going to lead a party and try to separate from Canada, and here's the reasons why I'm doing that. And what was your reaction? Certainly there was a lot of different reactions. Some people were very happy, some people were very frightened, some people were probably very scared, and probably many were very angry. How am I doing? Am I kind of hitting that? I mean, did you have all of those things happening?
Definitely. Yeah, you hit it right on the mark, Brian. The reality was is that the very mixed feelings. I've had some incredible support, supportive comments, phone calls, but a lot of people I would have to put into the category that they're very puzzled as to why someone that was such a committed Federalist has suddenly gone over to the dark side. You know, I've been called things like a traitor and you don't love Canada anymore and what the hell happened to you? You got hit on the head or something? Did you fall down? You know, because I am 67 years of age, so they wonder if I fell down the stairs one morning and ended up interim leader of the Wexit.
So what's your answer to that? How do you respond when you're called a traitor? What do you say?
Well, I say that you know, I just got frustrated to the point, and I think a lot of Westerners are at that point. I got frustrated to the point where I could see that nothing's going to change. So the way I describe it is, at some point in time, when you're in an abusive relationship, you have to take a bit of a leap of faith and leave that relationship. And I believe that Western Canadians should be at that position. For over 150 years, we have tried the same thing over and over again. And that's the modern definition of insanity, I think, politically in Canada, is to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Yeah. And we're never going to get that result because the fact of the matter is, and you know this better than most, Brian, is that the power through population resides in central Canada, in Toronto, Montreal. And if we needed any great evidence of that, it was last October when the West almost entirely voted conservative, but it was over before we got to the Manitoba border.
Yeah. Oh, no, hey, I'm a Westerner, and it's a big frustration. It always has been. I know, I get it. The very first time I voted, I was racing to get to the polling station. I got there at 5 to 8. Before I got out of my vehicle, they were announcing the Prime Minister already. So, no, I get it. So what about Prime Minister Harper? Any reaction from him to you with regard to what you're doing?
I haven't heard from Stephen at all on this issue. I mean, I've heard from some other former colleagues. Some have been quietly supportive. I mean, obviously, they're not going to come out publicly and endorse what I'm doing. But in private conversation, they understand why and what drove me to this. Others, are extremely upset because they're still with the Conservative Party of Canada. They're still working hard. They're going through their own leadership race right now, as you know.
Yes.
And so that in itself is divisive enough without having someone on the outside like myself further complicating things for my former colleagues. So yeah. I understand all that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know with President Trump as an example, so many people, when asked who they voted for, always say, I didn't vote for him. And if you were out and talked to the masses of the great unwashed, hardly anyone voted for him, and yet almost 70 million Americans did. So the point is that they're frightened to say that because it's not popular, right? And so we'll see what happens. And at the moment, you're kind of probably on the not popular list, but in terms of the separation, but there are so many people. I travel this country a great deal, and some politicians just kind of spend their time talking to other politicians. I don't drink. I used to with both hands, but I don't now. But I go to bars all the time. I'm in saloons from coast to coast. And you know what? You'll get a lot of votes. There's a lot of guys that probably won't say that they want to, but they're frustrated. They're very unhappy. They've had a poor relationship. One fella in a bar in Stettler, Alberta, explained it to me this way. Pardon the long verbiage, but I thought it was kind of cute. He says, it's like having a wife, and every day she hits me, she beats me up, and then she starts speaking a different language, and she's always reaching into my wallet and taking my money, and she took my job away from me, but yet she yells at me for not working, so I can't give her more money, but there's no job. And I thought, wow, what? and he said, that's Alberta, and that's Quebec. Ooh. I said, okay then. And that's the way he put it, as he was drinking beer with one hand and getting ready to put them both into action. So, yes, I get it. And a lot of people do get it. So you have a big task, though. Even with all of the support that is kind of hidden right now, you've got a big task to go out and get 40. Well, you've done it. Reform Party. You've done it. This is another reform thing. So a lot of people will say you're going to split the vote. They will say the Conservative Party now will never win again because of you. It's kind of like the PC Party didn't win again because of you, because of the Reform Party. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm saying if people actually see the truth for what it is, that the Conservative Party is never going to be able to treat the West fairly on the important issues, whether it's equalization, whether it's getting rid of the national carbon tax, fight back against the rabid environmentalists, whether it's to get Energy East, without giving a veto to the province of Quebec that doesn't allow that. Mm. With, I said a while ago, I would be willing to actually think that there's some hope if I actually saw down in Toronto and Ottawa people protesting by the thousands demanding the federal government ban the importation of foreign oil. You know what, Brian? If I was to see that, I would say, you know what? Those folks down there are finally getting it.
Yeah.
But we will never see that. We will never see, us become self-sufficient in oil. We should be. We have the reserves to be. Mm-hmm. But because it doesn't fit the plans and the profitability of Central Canada, we don't. No. So our main product, as far as a monetary generation product in Alberta and Western Canada, remains landlocked. Yeah. And by and large, we remain having only a single customer, the United States, just as one example. This isn't all about oil, of course, but oil has been the driver for the big monetary transfer that has gone on now, since, the 60s? Mm-hmm. And so over $100 billion that's flowed down to Central Canada, largely to Quebec.
Oh, it's shocking. The numbers are shocking.
I, for one, say it's not never going to change. It's not going to stop. It doesn't matter if it's a Conservative Party led by Peter McKay or Aaron O'Toole or whoever is the next leader of the Conservative Party. Because just as with Stephen Harper and myself and all of us that had to compromise to the point where it actually became appeasement, you have to look to where the votes and the seats are, and they're in Central Canada.
But you need a law. It's like that in the U.S. What have they got? What's the college called? Electoral college. You need something. You need senator representation. You need something, and that's never going to come. But Albertans, I think, because you're in Alberta and you're an Albertan, I think it's kind of like you've enabled you as an Albertan, we've all enabled the East. It's like if you're the parent in your house and you continue to give large amounts of money, sums of money to a child who goes out and does things with him that you don't approve of in terms of his lifestyle, that's enabling, right? And so here we give money to, Albertans give money to Quebec, and they go out and they become more socialist and they do more communistic kinds of things. So they've been enabled by Alberta. And I'm surprised that Albertans have never kind of put it that way. I put it that way to some Alberta people and they look at me and they kind of glaze over a little bit. But I think that, you know, maybe we have some responsibility too. Off on a tangent. Let's go back to the leadership. You said interim with a capital I, or that's what I heard at least. That means yeah. You only want to be here for a while. Who would come in? Are you going to have a leadership convention and do you have people in mind? Has anyone approached you that you can't tell us probably, but some big shot who can come in and lead us out of the wilderness?
Well, no big shots that I know. And I don't even know if I know what a big shot is, Brian. But,
opposite of a small shot, right?
The eight of us that have formed this board for Wexit have obviously laid out some short, medium, long-term goals.
Yes.
Short-term is to establish credibility. Obviously, part of that is to go on programs like yours, Brian, and try to get word out. The other two short-term goals are very obvious. They sell memberships. We need more people. We need more support. So ask those people to go to wexitcanada.com, our website, and take out a $10 membership. Become involved. Volunteer. Then it's to fundraise. You know, we have to have money to get word out. We have to advertise. We have to get organized. So those are the short-term goals. Medium-term is to put the energy and effort in and the money that it takes to hold a convention. Once you have a critical mass of membership, of people, then you hold a founding convention. And so we would hope to do that in the next 6 to 8 months if we can get properly organized. And then part of that, either concurrent with it or after it, would be a credible leadership race where we have some big shots come forward.
What's a big shot?
And then down the road, I mean, hand in hand with all of that is you got to try to organize in the 107 ridings in
it's
Western
a
Canada with members.
It's a business. And, I mean, you're in charge of a new business. This is a startup business, effectively. You now have to go out and organize. It's a big job, big task. I've done a lot of startups.
It's a massive job. And having been involved with the Reform Party back in its early days in 1986 and 87, when going through the whole, formation and the machinations of trying to get that started, with a small group of people, it takes years to do that. And that's why I say to people that, you know, are nervous about this whole idea of Western independence, I say, you're going to have lots of time to get accustomed to that, because it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to take referenda. It's going to take winning conditions. It's going to take members of parliament under an independence name, whether it's Wexit or something else, in the House of Commons, pushing the federal parties to allow for referenda, a clear question under the Clarity Act. The list is just almost frightening how many things that we have to do and have to accomplish. So it's going to be years. I may be dust blowing around on the family farm before this ever happens.
Well, I would like to see, a good law or a bad law shouldn't be obeyed anyway, in my view. I mean, Martin Luther King said that, but whatever. I mean, I get what you're saying. What about the resolve of the party? Now, let me give you an example, and then you can answer the question, I guess. Picture the man and wife, and they're always hitting each other, and they're always unhappy. She's the one that speaks a different language and has taken his money. And so he's had enough, and he's out, and he's loading up the trunk, and she comes out and says, I promise I won't drink anymore, dear, and all of that. And so he goes back in. It's pretty standard, right? So he goes back in. And how many times until he actually starts the car and drives away? And then when he does, often he's halfway down the block and he turns around and says, I better give it another try. What's the resolve like here? Like, are you waiting for someone to give you a carrot? Like, you're packing the trunk and they come out and say, hey, we'll speak English now in WestJet for you first or something like that? I mean, is this a tease or is this the real deal? You guys are really pushing ahead and you want to separate because all the rest, we've been beat up too many times and now we're looking forward. The windshield, not the rearview mirror. What's the deal?
Well, I think your analogy is accurate, Brian. I think that people have to relate it to their own personal situation. And, you know, we've all been there with personal relationships. Doesn't have to be a marriage or a spouse.
No,
it
of course.
Could be a it could be a business or relationship that's gone sour. It could be anything in our personal lives where we're finally come to the point where we've had enough. And you're quite right. There has to be consequences, and they have to be serious for the other side to say, whoa, like, you know, Joe Blow, Brian, he's ready to pull the pin. He's ready to leave. And that's what I argue with people that say, well, you know, you can't really be serious. I say it's the opposite. You have to be serious.
Oh, yeah.
The other side has to know you're serious. So to the Jason Kennys and the people that wrap themselves in the flag and they say, well, you're not patriotic. You don't love Canada. If you're espousing separation, if you're espousing that we become our own independent nation, then that only proves that you don't love Canada. I say I love Canada, but it doesn't love me back, and I'm getting tired of it. And we have to be serious. So all I can speak for right now, Brian, is the eight of us. You know, at a founding convention, I don't know what people will choose or if there will be some different track. But the eight of us that are forming this board right now, we are committed to separation, to independence in some fashion. Now, you know, people ask me, well, will that have to be a separate nation, you know, with its own military, its own dollar, its own this and its own that? I don't know that. I mean, it could be the separatists in Quebec called for sovereignty association. So something just short of complete independence. I don't know how it's going to turn out. All I know is that we have to strive for independence.
Yeah. Let me give a little story on that. I think that so many relationships, I'm talking men and women, and I'm happily married forever. So, I mean, I'm not talking about myself, but from what I see, right, so many people, they separate and the man moves into the basement. What? I don't think that's a separation. And he changes oil in her car and he goes shopping with her and what? And then they always say, don't separate because of the kids. And I say, but if you stay together, the kids are going to remain unhappy. I mean, what? And there is a time when y'all got to move ahead, right? And so that's kind of where I would be. I mean, of course you should have your own military. Of course you should have your own dollar and everything else. Because you're gone now, you're no longer a part of it. This business is separating and kind of still hanging out and having lunch together every day. Ugh, I never bought into that. That's me. What do I know? I like what you're doing. And I like it because there's a need and you're coming out to do a startup of a business, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you to see where this goes. And I can see why political people, they're frightened of you because they don't quite know what to make of this, because you're not the ordinary guy from, you know, down working at the butcher shop. So I think that's great, and all power to you because you believe and you're trying to make it better for the people that follow you, your children and your grandchildren. And I admire that. So come back on my show, will you?
Of course.
All right.
Anytime, Brian. And I've enjoyed the visit, and thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's a real pleasure. And we'll update each other. And in particular, I want to hear about all the strokes that these politicians continue to have as you continue to kind of show us what you're about. So thank you. Happy day.
Happy.